Also, I think that's been passed out. Has it been passed out, Beatrice, right there, the pastor's letter? You know, we got that out, and the reason I do that, you know, there's a book review on it. There is a promise of the month, something I feel that the Spirit is speaking to me for you to take and believe upon that and stand upon it, you know, and then also a little message of encouragement to us and of direction in the Lord. It's be holy is a we're going to be moving in that direction here real soon. You know, I sense in the Lord is in the direction of what it means to be holy before the Lord. Anyway, there we are. So praise the name of the Lord. Don't forget our fundraiser, okay? Don't forget our fundraiser. What does God want you to do? You know, a one-time gift, you know, a gift at various times, a gift every month. I'm just asking you to look at it, and you do feel what God wants you to do. But I am going to challenge you on it, that asking the Lord to give you the strength and the power to believe in ways that that God will stretch you. So I'm just lifting that up, you know, that we can get this sound system in. You know, we're not halfway. We need $20,000, and we're not halfway. But I just want to lift that up, and you give as the Lord would have you to give. But this is not just for somebody that's got money. You know, this is for all of us as a church. And along with that, and I just want to tell you, there's a lot of blessings to come. Okay? Yeah, I know that we all, and pardon me as I'm getting preachy on you about giving, okay, and money. You know, but, you know, there are blessings that come your way. You and I both spend a lot of money in a lot of things. And, you know, we need to realize that God blesses us as we give to the kingdom. Okay? He blesses us. There are many blessings that can't come your way. How would you ever expect God to bless you financially if you yourself are stingy? Really? You're going to believe that God's going to bless you. Lord, bless me, bless me, bless my finances, but I'm not giving a dime. Does that make sense? You know? And so I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you in that. So I want you just between you and God, you think about that. And we need the sound system, that's for sure, without doubt. So anyway, thank you. And would you do this? Would you be praying for it? Okay, not just your part and what you'd have, Lord, but would you be praying for it? We just appreciate that, you know, all of us as a church, that you'd be lifting that up before the Lord. Okay, thank you. I won't preach on that anymore right now. Okay, but I do long for you to be blessed. I do long. I know some of you are in financial struggles, and life is hard. It's not easy, but make your security God and not your bank account. You know, make your security God. And then also, you know, you can say, well, I don't make that much money or whatever it would be, or I have a hard time paying my bills. But listen, there are blessings that come in that faith giving before the Lord. And that's what I want for you. I want for me to be blessed of the Lord. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, amen. And that's a good point. I hadn't said anything about it lately, you know, and, you know, I get tunnel vision and then I forget this one over here, right? And yes, the food pantry, we haven't been saying a lot of bring your food, put them in the baskets back here. And then downstairs we have, you know, the food pantry. So if you need help, we're happy to do it. And if you know others that need help, that's what it's there for, okay? All right, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's be turning to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going back to the subject that I've been on. This is the third part of the spiritual authority of the believer, the spiritual authority of the believer. I'm not really sure that I'm going to be able to finish it here. I've been doing this in relationship to our intercessory prayer and in relationship to you and I as believers in the Lord getting into the fight. You know, when I say getting into the fight, I'm talking about into the battle, into spiritual warfare. I know sometimes that becomes a very mystical subject to a lot of Christians and not really understanding it. But I want you to know that you are in a war, whether you recognize the war or not. What the Holy Spirit does is that He enlightens you. As we look here, He enlightens you and He allows you to see things in the realm of the Spirit. And as you see them, that you begin to understand just exactly how you should respond in the Lord. The Holy Spirit will lead you. There are strongholds that will be overcome and that will be broken because of you being led by the Spirit of God in this realm of battle and of warfare that's in the Spirit. Many, many natural problems really have their source in the realm of the Spirit. There are afflictions that go on. There are oppositions that go on. There are works of demon powers and fortresses that has been given to you and I to pray them down and to overcome them in the name of Jesus. And this is many times where victory weighs in the balance, whether it's the manifestation of the kingdom of God, and that's to be the business of the church, the manifestation of the kingdom of God, or whether it's personal victory in your own life. Many times what you're doing is you're fighting spiritual battles. What's really going on is in the realm of the Spirit, although it may look like it's in the realm of the natural. Now, let me, you got this, got you in Ephesians 1, and I'm going to read that, and I'm going to go on to that. But can we, we're in Ephesians, so I'd just like to touch a couple of scriptures, if you don't mind, that I know that we're aware of. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5, that's as far as you'll have to go. And then just look with me, very familiar scriptures, but may we be reminded of these things, and that is in verse 12 of Ephesians 6. For our struggle, and I want you to note that, is not against flesh and blood. You know, this is what the evil one loves to do, that we see the problem as being a natural problem. And it doesn't mean that there's not a conflict in the natural. It doesn't mean that there's not something being manifested in the natural. But the real source of the problem and where the real victory is going to be found is not in the realm of the natural. It's going to be found in the realm of the Spirit. Many times we like to blame situations, we like to blame people and all of this and other, when in reality what the Word of God is saying is that this is how we overcome. This is how we overcome. You know, it goes on and it says right here, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness. Now that's a really an amazing statement, because that's the realm of this world, isn't it? You know, when he says right here in the word again, against the world, let me read this, flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness. You know, we walk in the light of the Lord because we're to be a light. And so we walk in the light of the Lord, which is the light of righteousness and truth and holiness of the Lord and in the kingdom of God. But that's not the state of this world. And many times people are being used as pawns. They're being used as pawns. You know, what the evil one wants you and I to do is focus on the natural. Focus on the natural. Begin to blame the source to here and to there. And I'm not saying that there's not truth in that. But what the Spirit of God wants to do is to break those powers and the way that they're broken and the way that real true change comes and the way that real victories are really won is in the realm of the Spirit. In the realm of the Spirit. You know, so, you know, one of the great works of the evil one, you know, is that we begin to get, you know, maybe bitter toward a person, or we blame a person, you know, they become our target or whatever it would be. You know, and the whole work of the evil one is to defile our heart. Defile our heart where our prayers won't be answered. You need to keep your heart clean. That's why you need to walk after repentance in your life. That's why you need to practice repentance. You know, repentance, you know, is the work of those that really are seeking after God. You know, repentance is walked in by those that are truly spiritual because they see more. They see more. They see more of themselves. They see the more truth of the heart. They're more finely tuned about what's going on in their heart. That's one of the great works of the Holy Spirit. You know, those that walk after the flesh, whether they're carnal or whether they don't know the Lord, they're totally oblivious of what is going on in the heart. But the more you come closer to the Lord, the more you walk after the way of the Spirit, one of the great works of the Holy Spirit is He begins to show you what's going on inside of you. You know, and that's a wonderful blessing. It only comes by the Holy Spirit of God. And when that comes, then see, we keep our heart right with God. You know, that's why it's a continual work before the Lord. Repentance is a continual work before the Lord. I didn't just repent. You know, back when I got saved, right? You know, I walk in repentance. You know, you walk in holiness and you walk in obedience and you walk in repentance all really at the same time. You know, because you keep your heart for the Lord. And in that, you're able to be led by the Spirit of God and you're able to receive discernment that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit and the moving of the Holy Spirit so that you can really see real true victories in your life and around about you, and that we as the church can do the business of the church as God has called us, and we have a real effect in the world and in our community because we're being led by the Spirit of God and we join in over this warfare that's before us. Well, he goes on right there, and I'm going to read it again. And, you know, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, and it's against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. All right, now if you go on for another place over here, it comes over, if you would, and that is in, let's go, also was the same chapter, and I'm just going to read this. Here in Ephesians 6, again, verse 17, it says, and take the helmet, you know, the full armor of God, take the helmet of salvation. But here's where I wanted to focus on, and the sword of the Spirit. Notice that, the sword of the Spirit, and then it tells us what the sword of the Spirit is, which is the Word of God, the Word of God. And then look what we're to be in verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, look at this. This is in the realm of the Spirit. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all of the saints. You know, so very clearly you can see that we're to be a praying people. We must be a praying people. You know, if you want to see the power of God, then start talking to Him. Okay, if you want to see the power of God, start talking to Him, you know, and then not only start talking to Him, but I want to give you a good suggestion, start listening to Him, okay, you know, start listening to Him. What I mean by listening to Him, you know, that this is a hard attitude. This is a hard attitude. You know, you lift up, make your request made known to God. That's what Philippians says. So, you know, do that, but don't just stop there. You know, quiet yourself down. Give yourself opportunity, give yourself time, and just kind of have a heart attitude and verbalize, Lord, what do you want to say to me? Right? Lord, what do you want to say to me? You know, and notice that He gives you alerts. It's not, may I say, and you know, it's not, and I say this about myself too, it's not all about you. Follow me in prayer, and that's almost how prayers become. No, it's being the vessel of the Lord. God will answer your prayers, but you need to make yourself available to Him. And if you make yourself available to Him, I'll be honest with you, that's how you're going to see more of your prayers answered. You know, you lift up your every request. You lift up your every need. You cast over your care of your every burden upon the Lord. But then you give an opportunity for the Lord to speak to you. You give Him opportunity. Put yourself in a listening mode. Put yourself in a listening mode before the Lord. You know, and that's where you quiet yourself before God. You open up your heart before the Lord. And everything is received by faith. Everything, everybody say everything. Everything is received by faith because we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, even in listening and hearing God is a faith activity. You know, and what you do here is you come before the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm listening. Lord, what do you want to say to me? And then what is that faith activity? You have an expectation before the Lord that he's going to speak to you. Now, you know, you don't know, don't be shallow. You know, don't be shallow. You know, where, God didn't say anything to me. It must not work. Come on now, okay. You know, the Lord may test you because he does a lot of testing, all right, which is a proving of your heart. You know, do you really? Oh, let's just see how much Ron really wants to hear from me or not, you know. And, you know, and so, you know, like if I take on that attitude, I guess it doesn't work. You know, it don't work. God's not going to talk to me. He's not going to say anything. Now I leave the subject and go on. I didn't really want to hear much in the first place. Right? He's going to test you now, okay? He's going to prove you in that. You know, and so, you know, that you may leave your prayer time at that time, and when you do, but you still got that attitude, and you keep the practice up. Keep the practice up of coming before the Lord and lift up your, make your request made known to God. Make your request made known to God. What else does it say? You know, and be on the alert. That's called hearing from the Lord. You know, that's called hearing from the Lord. Don't let it all be about you, right? You know, that's easy to do. I understand that. You know, but that's where we grow in the Lord. You know, that it's not just about you and your needs, and the Lord will move in your life, and he wants to move in your life, and he wants to lead you, and he wants to use you. And also, you know, you begin to be on the alert, and the Spirit of God, you know, or situations, it works both ways, the Spirit of God or situations, you know, that you're on the alert, and then the perseverance in prayer for the saints, you know, that you pray, and, you know, you stand in the gap, that you stand in the gap, you know, make your request known to God. You know, that's where you're making, you know, lifting up your petitions and your supplications right there. And then we enter into intercessory prayer, as we've been doing on Sunday night, as we must become a church of intercessory as we go forward. All right? You can be praying about that. You can be lifting that up and praying about that. You know, we'll have other nights and other times of devotion, of intercession, and lifting that up before. Because this is where we as a church are going to see the victory. Okay? We're not going to find it in the ways of man. We're not going to find it in trinkets. We're not going to find it in plans. Nobody's life and nobody's heart's ever changed like that. You know, you're not saved just because you came to church on Sunday. You got to respond to the Lord. That's what you got to do. You got to respond to the Lord. And we can't win the world, and we can't win our community, and we can't win Owensboro by trinkets or any other motive or plan, you know, that we would use unless it's effective in the realm of the Spirit and people's lives are changed. What does it good to have a house full and where everybody lives under the deception of being saved, but they are not? 1 Peter says that the last state is worse than the first. All right, now let's go on back here. So I want you to see that, and I want you to see that we're to arm ourselves and how we fight this warfare. And we see that, how do we do it? With the what? Everybody say the sword of the Spirit. It's, you know, it's the sword of the Spirit, the word of the Lord. You know, what is the word of the Lord? Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. You know, so we begin to believe on the word. You know, we don't just read the word casually, right? You know, what we do is that we understand that we just heard it from the word of God, that this is called the sword of the Spirit. This is where effectiveness comes from, right? It doesn't come from my emotions. It doesn't come from my feelings. Or any other, this is where effectiveness comes from, because I begin to proclaim the word of the Lord. Now, what is a faith action before Almighty God? You know, and how do we enter into, as we were talking about last week, how do we enter into this spiritual understanding that the Holy Spirit begins to bring? And this, you know, the eyes of your heart, as we're going to look at in a minute, being enlightened. You know, how do we come into those things? Do you remember that from last Sunday? Number one, it comes through the action of faith. It comes through the action of faith. And when I say faith, I'm talking about a fundamental practice of faith that you have in your heart and in your mind. What is a twofold working of faith? If you're in faith, what is a twofold working of faith? Well, number one is that you believe in your heart. That's number one. This is that we're talking about if you're not a doctrine. So many people believe in the doctrine of faith that never are really truly stand in faith. They do not practice faith. They believe in faith, but they don't practice it. And many times because they don't know how, I'll be honest, right? It's not believing in a doctrine does not put you in the position of faith. It's the fundamental practice of faith. All right, so number one is that you believe in your heart. Well, what in the world is that? That means that you give your whole being and in your mind and in your heart and all into the hope of the promise of God. You know, I am looking and my expectation is in the promise of God. You know, that's believing in your heart and not just intellectually, mentally assenting to something. That's the difference between believing versus having simply a positive attitude. Because faith is positive, the word is positive, because our hope is in the Lord, but it's not simply being positive. That's not the action of faith. You know, it's the hope, and that hope and giving yourself to what the Word says, giving yourself to what the Word says with keeping your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12. So that's the number one. So there is a fundamental consciousness of action when it comes to believing upon the Lord. And what is the foundation of it? The foundation of it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the truth of the word of the Lord. You know, so this is really to be used in a time of prayer, right? You know, this is really to be used in a time. It's not just good reading. You know, it's not just good thoughts. You know, it's not just reading the Bible. It's not just, you know, learning the stories of Jesus and all of that. No, this is where you find your life, because this is the foundation of the new covenant inaugurated in His blood. You know, so, you know, if you want to know what the will of God is, you don't want to know what He will do, you know, there's other places, and I won't turn to it, where it talks about that these things have been spoken as examples to you and I as to who God is, what He does, and what He'll do for you. If you can read about Gideon, guess what? It's not all just about Gideon. It's also about you. Are you following me there? You know, these are examples that are not given as simple Bible stories so that we can know Bible. But this has been given to you and to me so we know that the same God with David is the same God that will be with you. And He'll be with you in the same way He was with David. You know, so this becomes what? It becomes a living word, right? You know, it's a living word. And boy, how exciting is that? I hope that stirs your heart. I know I'm speaking right now in very, very fundamental things, and I get that. But may we be refreshed in them, that we understand, you know, what wonderful hope that we have in hopeless situations. What wonderful hope that we have in hopeless situations. What wonderful hope. And that we have of expectation in situations that we don't know what to do about them. Or maybe that it's even worse than that. Maybe it's that there's really nothing that we can do about them. You know, our hands are tied. We have no ability to be able to change it in any form or fashion. You know, but we believe upon the God of the impossible. Right? Whatever is impossible with man is possible with God. Will you venture out into that? Are you willing to walk after that instead of just simply read it? Are you willing to be courageous in the Lord? Because that's what it takes. It takes a courageousness in God. You know, where courageousness is, and I'm willing, you know, the God of the impossible. You know, I'm going to begin to believe God for the impossible, right? You know, and you know, that takes courageousness of heart. It takes courageousness of faith. Because a lot of people can't do that. It's too fearful for them. You know, a lot of people, you know, what they'll do is they'll come into a faith crisis, and they're fearful of coming into a faith crisis. You know what a faith crisis is? You know, that's where, you know, something doesn't happen, at least it doesn't happen the way that you thought it should happen, or as you had been believing God for, or whatever it would be, and nothing happens, or it goes the opposite direction, or whatever, and then your faith ends up in a crisis because, you know, your heart now is filled with such disappointment. Yeah, I want you to hear some of the works of the evil one, of his great works to distract and to keep us from going forward, you know, and that is frustrations. Be watch out for frustrations, for disappointments, distractions to resist our expectation. Now, I'm going to say more in that realm in a minute if I get to it, you know, but I just wanted to speak that. Frustrations is the work of the evil one. Disappointments, they will take root in your heart. You know, matter of fact, Gina was teaching on this morning in Sunday school, and then what happens is a woundedness comes, you know, and that becomes a bondage for you to be free in your faith, right? It brings restrictions to your faith. And you know, so there are those that, now how do you overcome these things? How do you become fearless, you know, and bold and believing God for the impossible? You know, and then at the same time, you know, not become wounded, right? You know, not become wounded. You know, how do you do that? Well, what you do is that, you know, you're not out for God to just simply do your will. You're out to do His will. And what you do is you're submitted to the Lord through the thick and through the thin. And you're going to believe God, even if it appears that things are not working out, prayers are not being answered, looks like it's going the other way or whatever it would be. You know, your eyes have to be on Jesus. Right? They have to be on Jesus. Or you're going to find yourself sidelined real quick by the powers of darkness. They're going to sideline you. You're going to have a smile on your face. You're going to say, yes, glory to God and everything else. And you're going to come to church, you know, but you're not going to let your heart get out there. You're not going to let your heart get out there because you're afraid. You're afraid of what the effect that's going to be upon your heart. And you're afraid that your heart's going to get hurt. And then what's happened to you is you just got robbed of every bit of ability to be courageous in the Lord. I mean, this warfare's rough, okay? I mean, you know, I mean, that it is. This warfare is rough. You know, there's rough stuff that goes on. And, you know, because the way that most people deal with issues that they don't know what to do about is that they pretend they're not there. They ignore them, right? You know, because, you know, yeah, I don't know what to do about it anymore. You know, so, you know, I don't want to think about it. You know, you've heard that. Maybe you've even said it to somebody. Maybe you've even said it to yourself. You know, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it, you know? You know, because, you know what, I can't deal with that. I can't deal with that. And what you're really saying is that I'm so wounded and I'm so hurt. And a lot of people never even come to the realization that they're dealing with hurts and wounds. I'm so wounded and I'm so hurt. And that subject, I just can't talk about it anymore. Well, welcome to the team. And don't take on the attitude that's not real. Oh, I'll tell you right now, I never get hurt. I don't ever get hurt. And you're a walking around wounded mess. Right? No, that is part of it. That's part of it, you know, and that's what, you know, makes you real. You know, that yes, and these are very real things, you know, and that's why you enter into the warfare of obtaining the victory that is yours, and that's where the power of the Holy Spirit, that's way number two. Remember this? All right. You know, how do we get spiritual understanding? You know, how does this, this visionary understanding that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, where, the eyes of your heart are enlightened. And, you know, how does this all come about? How do I get it? How do I get it? Number one, remember this from last week. So, God's got this on my heart, so I'm just going to do it. You know, number one is that practical application of faith. Number two is according to the way of the Spirit, right? You got to get the Holy Spirit involved in your walk, your needs, and your stand, okay? Now, you have to get the Holy Spirit involved. He's the one that provides the power. He will give you overcoming power that you do not have. And you will fail if you do not have the power of the Holy Spirit in the midst of it. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't live the Christian life. Oh, no, you can't. Right? No, you can't. I can't stop sinning. No, I understand. No, you can't, But the Holy Spirit can make you walk in obedience to God and love the Lord with all your heart. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. I can't stop sinning. Oh, yes, you can. Yeah. Not in your own power. I can't overcome that. I can't overcome it. I keep doing it. I keep being it. Well, that's because it right now you're trying to fight the war and the battle in your flesh. Let's go after it in the realm of the Spirit. Let's rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look to the Holy Spirit. Let's lay down all that self-effort. And the devil will accuse you at that point when you begin to lay down the works of self-effort. You'll lay them down because now you're going to rest and have expectation. And God, boy, he don't want you to do that. He wants you to keep on trying. Come on, guy, get in there. I want you to just work a little harder, Work a little harder, right? Because then that way you'll get wore out and you'll get so frustrated that you'll give up and then you'll come into resignation. Now that's another work that the evil one does, is resignation. Resignation takes place of expectation. Which one do you have? Because it's always a challenge in both directions. Number one, resignation. Resignation. Number two is expectation. Because expectation is the fundamental practice of faith. All right? Expectation is the fundamental practice of faith. Now, you may get beat up occasionally. You may get knocked around occasionally. You've been getting beat up and getting knocked around. It's just you didn't have any awareness of it. But now you got awareness of it. Before it was like having a bag over your face and the devil was punching your lights out. You just didn't know that you was getting punched, right? Now you got your eyes open and, hey, I realize that what's going on here. You know how many people that don't have that kind of a realization? Huh? They do not have that realization. And if you don't have any kind of realization like that, then how in the world do you ever engage the enemy of the very one that's attacking you? Every time I get up and go forward, I get knocked back two places. Huh. Wonder how that's happened. Every time something good starts happening to me, every time something starts, it just seems to like just fall away, just disappears. Huh. Wonder how that's happening. Are you with me? For our struggle's not against flesh and blood, is it? Right? And the Holy Spirit goes and opens up doors where the evil one is trying to keep us from prospering. When I use that word prospering, I mean in everything. Okay? Prospering in Jesus, prospering financially, prospering in relationships. I'm talking about prospering your own soul. Right? Prosper in your own soul. Everybody say prosper. Because it belongs to you and Jesus. You know. But every time, you understand the devil wants to destroy you, hinder you, and keep you from ever receiving or ever becoming what the Lord wants you to become. And so you're going to have a fight on your hands. You know, welcome to the battle, right? But we get into the fight. But now there's something that's a great compensator. And you know, and here it is. And I'm going to close with really where I should have started. But that's so I've been just to the Lord here. And this is Ephesians chapter 1. And you know, verse 18, the first part says, he's praying something, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Now, let me just stop there a minute. So do you see, you know, this is a spiritual understanding that's being imparted to you that transcends the things that are happening in the realm of the natural. This is where a spirit of discernment comes to you. This is where you begin to see. Now, you may have visions, all right? You may have visions. You may have revelations. It comes as revelation. But it's outside of yourself. It's outside of your knowledge. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. It's the power of you letting the Holy Spirit operate freely within you. That's what you're doing, is you're letting the Holy Spirit operate freely within you. If you will let the Holy Spirit operate freely within you, He will open your eyes and allow you to see a bunch of stuff. Okay? And it comes through the spirit, it comes from through the heart, and then it begins to affect the thinking, all right? You know, so it comes in a lot of different forms, but just understand one thing, and that you see that here, that this is a promise of God. Is it not? Do you see that God's made a promise to you and to me? I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. You know, so the way that I meet that is with an attitude of expectation. I mean, when I read these things, see, this is why you should be in the Word of God. Because the more you're in the Word of God, then the more that you will see what God is willing to do for you and what you can begin to expect from Him. You know, all right, now, let me read this. This is verse 17, and then I'm going to close. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Now, look at this. Look at this. He's the Father of glory, you know, but He's the author of glory. The implication here is that He wants you to experience His glory. He wants you to experience His glory. You know, that's what the implication is here. And He speaks it in another place here in a moment. But let me give you that word. The word glory in the Greek is doxa, D-O-X-A. And it means this brightness. Brightness, that things get illuminated. All right? They get illuminated. And then, how about this? Majesties. Oh, my goodness. That your eyes begin to get open and you begin to see the truth about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. For your own life, and then for the lives of others, and then how God wants to manifest the Lordship of Jesus Christ in the earth, and then how He wants to use you as a soldier, as a warrior in Christ, that you begin to see an authority that belongs to you, and you see it because the Spirit reveals it to you. And when the Spirit reveals to you, and these majesties of the Lord, you're empowered with a conviction that comes from God to stand in the realm of the Spirit and begin to take authority over that illegal trespasser, the devil, that has blinded the eyes of the unbelieving. And you become a mighty vessel, a mighty soldier, in the realm of the Spirit, in the kingdom of God. That's amazing, isn't it? Isn't that kind of exciting? And that's what He'll do with you. That's what His plan is to do with you. And I read on there, again, brightness and majesty, doxa, dokeia is a D-O-K-E-O, is the root word, and this is what it means. It means to recognize. Oh, boy, how about that? It means to recognize. It means regarding. It means to expect. It means that, in the realm of your thinking or your thoughts, right? You know, so do you understand? Other than that, we're weak and we're failing and we're unbelieving and we're doubting because we're trying to walk in the things of the Spirit through the natural man versus receiving them through the realm of the Spirit, through the man of the Spirit, which is your inheritance in Jesus. Wow. I'm amazed. You know, so let me read verse 17. It says right here that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom. Do you see that? Well, he's going to give you something that you don't have. He's going to give you a spirit of wisdom. Now look what else. A spirit of wisdom and of revelation. Look here. In the knowledge of him. In the knowledge of him. Whoa. Now, you understand this is all being revealed to you. This is the power of God. How do you find this? You find this because you begin to expect it, okay? You begin to seek it. You begin to ask for it. You begin to believe on what you just read called the sword of the Spirit. And then as you begin to stand in that and stand upon that, the Holy Spirit now has an avenue to move in you and me and to fulfill the promise of Almighty God. Give you a spirit of wisdom. Give you a spirit of revelation. Whew. Revelation in the knowledge of Him. Wow. And see, that's why the church has this walked in such defeat and failure. The reason the church has walked in such defeat and failure is because that it seeks to accomplish the things of the Spirit through the natural man. And you cannot accomplish the things of the Spirit through the natural man. We keep trying to just improve, you know, the man and our ways. No, it's being transformed. It's coming into the power of God. It's coming into the realm of the Spirit. Now, Kathy, why don't you all come on up? And I want to say something to you here as we're closing with this. And that is that, you know, don't have wrong thinking. You know, wrong thinking that, well, now, you know, oh, that's kind of mystical stuff right there. You know, the realm of the Spirit. I mean, that was number three. You know, divine courage. Here's number, and the divine, this is the divine effects of the soul with Christ-like character. Number four is unction or anointing, as we call it. Same thing, you know, by the Holy Spirit. This is when the Holy Spirit begins to bring supernatural equipping into your life to where you may serve Him in the kingdom of God, how He wants you to serve Him in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is when spiritual gifts, this is when the miraculous and the supernatural happens, and it comes out in a right spirit, and it comes out in a good spirit. And that's what the Lord wants to have happen. Now here's the last one, number five, and that is fire. Fire. You know, this is the fire of God. The fire of God. The holy fire of God that burns. It's a supernatural spiritual burning. It's a supernatural spiritual burning in the heart with, listen, holy strength. With holy strength. Holy strength that overcomes. This is the character of it, of this fire, that overcomes, endures, seeks, and stands. You know what the end result is? Victory is made manifest. Isn't that glorious? Victory. Let me just summarize them real quick. You know, divine effects upon the soul with Christ-like character. Number one, divine energy. Number two, zeal. Number three is divine courage. Number four is unction and anointing. And then number five, fire! Glory to God. Kathy, why don't